We were talking about the year 5783 going into 5784, which is the new year 5784 now. Last Monday, this past Monday, was Yom Kippur, which goes into the new year. And we still have 3 months to go into our new year. But those two years, they always coordinate, right, on God's calendar. They always converge on God's calendar. Bless you. Okay. Bless you. What's up, Matt?
Okay. Cycle, right? Starting right now?
In
84? The Jubilee? I think they said it was from 22 to 23. Remember we looked it up. Do you remember what it was?
We just ended our Jubilee.
Yes.
So will it end now as opposed to the
starting
year?
And what Angie's saying is, does anybody know what a Jubilee year is? A Jubilee year? It's in the Jewish tradition. A Jubilee year is every... Go ahead, Craig. That's a Shemitah. That's a Shemitah year. Every 50 years, that's right, is a Jubilee year. And what Jubilee year in the Jewish tradition was, if you owned property and you lost property, or you had property and you worked property, or you loaned out money and you owed money to somebody, at the end of 50 years, that land comes back to you. Even, yes. Everything goes back to the original owners, and it's a Jubilee year, okay? So every 50 years that is, and we just had one. I'm trying to look it up if it's 22 to 23 or 23 to 24 is a Jubilee year. Let's see if I can learn how to spell Jubilee. 2023. Yes, 2023. So we just had a Jubilee year, so which starts, and how crazy is this? It's the 70th Jubilee year.
Wow.
That's awesome. That's significant. 70th, the 70th Jubilee year. And what Craig is talking about is a Shemitah year, which is kind of cool because it's kind of what I'm talking about a little bit today, because we're coming out of a seven-year cycle, right? And that's what every 7 years is a Shemitah year, okay? And God moves in those seven-year increments. And so when you were blessed or when you were cursed, he would do it in seven-year increments, right?
How do you spell that?
Which one?
What's that?
Where did I put?
Word is increment?
I don't know where I put that marker. I opened up a black one. I opened up one of those. Oh, did I just lay it in there? Oh, right here. Here it is. Yeah. Okay, so this one, the 7 year is spelled like that. Shemitah. Okay. And then 50 years is the Jubilee. Is that how you spell Jubilee? Mm-hmm.
There used to be a program on TV on Sunday mornings, yeah, called Jubilee.
Uh-huh.
Jubilee.
I don't remember.
Singing Jubilee. You know, a whole bunch of Southern Gospel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Groups.
Yeah.
And every Sunday morning, you got to hear them, and I loved it.
That's
even
awesome.
I was a Christian.
Yeah. Radio, yeah, when you listen to radio programs. Okay, so if you remember from last week, we're coming into, it's already 5784, we're coming into 2024, and we're looking at it because we're following God's calendar, right? Which is the Hebrew calendar. The ones we follow is called Gregorian, okay? King Gregory was the one that started the Gregorian calendar that goes from January to December, which we have followed since, okay? God follows the Hebrew calendar, okay? And the Hebrew calendar is just different than, the months are different, and that's the one we're looking at. So that's the one we want to look at today. So since we're going into the year 84, do you remember last week what we talked about? 84, what it meant? What is the number four? Morning. What does the number four represent against Gematria, right? When we put four? Door. That's right. That's right. So this is the year of the open door. We're coming into the year of the open door. So we talked about going in. So now that you know that, that you're to go into the scripture and look at all the scriptures that have to do with doors. And you start to see this connection about how we're moving into the year of 84. And we're in the month of 80, which is pay, right? 80 is pay, your mouth, speak. 4 is door. So it's the year of the open door, but it's also the year of you're speaking into your open doors. You're co-laboring with God that whatever you speak, whatever you use your mouth to do, you're going to create those open doors of where you go for this year.
Like you needed whiteboards.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
Whiteboards.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's you. We opened up a door by saying, Lord, I would love to have one of those whiteboards. You know, don't want to go buy one. They're expensive.
I can't
if you look.
This whiteboard off.
Yes.
I'm gonna have to buy a new whiteboard.
And the Lord said, okay, you've just spoke what you need, and we're going to open that door for you to have one. And that's exactly how we use our mouths to frame up our the how you live, right? To frame up your
uses another person
mm-hmm.
or a place to meet that need.
Yes.
It is God working through
the body of Christ. Yeah, what she's saying is God uses other members of the body of Christ because we're never meant to do this alone. Not a single person can do any of this on his own. He created it that you need people. You need brothers and sisters in Christ who all play a role to help partner with you and come and lift you up and you create. So when you come together, you create the body. You create the body. He's the head, we're the body, and then everybody has a different, you know, service or different talent or gift that comes to create the body. Okay? And so we're coming into the year, but it's also speaking from heaven to earth. Heaven to earth. I don't remember if you remember last week we talked about things. The number 4 has everything to do with the things that are created. All things created are the number 4. Heaven and earth. All things on heaven and earth. And that term, heaven and earth, is in the scriptures 4 times. Heaven and earth, if you're looking in the scriptures and you're trying to find that phrase, heaven and earth, it's 4 times in the scriptures. And you'll find that a lot of things are done like that, that God numerically puts in the scriptures for us to go study that out. Remember, Angie brought up a good scripture about our sign out there that said it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, right? I think it's in Proverbs. But it's the glory of kings to search those matters out.
I was so glad she explained it, because when I read that sign, I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And then she explained it, and I was like, oh.
Does everybody know what that means that Janet's talking about? It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. But it's the glory of who's kings and priests in the kingdom of heaven?
We are.
So he loves taking scriptures, he loves taking mysteries and secrets and things that are close to his heart, and he loves hiding them in scripture or hiding them in a dream that he gives you or a vision that he gives you. And then it brings you glory to go in and search those matters. Like last night, I had a dream, and I knew it was so significant. And this morning, you know, I was just kind of waking up. I keep a little energy thing by my bed, and I just kind of drink it in the morning, and then I lay there and I just kind of let it wake me up. And in that time I'm letting it wake me up, I'm trying to remember this dream. And I'm like, Lord, I know it was significant, and I knew it had to do with how we were moving into this new season. And all I remember from the dream is it was like a house. We were in a house, and all these houses had rooms in them, and all these rooms had these little there were like little sliding things that went down into these little dungeons that people couldn't get out of. And then I remember, I don't even remember if who was doing this, but there was a certain person that was running this house, and he was going by and giving pills, pills to the people that were in there. And I could tell that the pills, I knew in my dream, I knew that those were keeping your thought process on to their thought process. Like whatever they were feeding you, whatever they were giving you, it was keeping the narrative that they were giving you. That you couldn't think on your own. You couldn't discern on your own. You couldn't process on your own. And it, whatever that narrative that they were feeding you, that was keeping you there. It was keeping you down. You know, and I knew, and there was so much more to it, but I was trying to think, you never do that. You try to think of a dream when, as soon as you have it, and it, you just start losing it, and it just started going away. And I was sitting there praying about it, Lord, what was that? What was that? Well, that's my responsibility to search that matter out. That's for me. God gave that dream to me.
Yeah, and it just makes me think all of a sudden, because I've been thinking a lot about the vaccine and how a lot of you guys have been saying that the vaccines aren't good.
They're not. But if you've taken the vaccine, don't worry about it. It's okay, you know. The vaccines are, you pray about it. That's between you and the Lord, you know, and you pray about it. And if that's just something between you and the Lord, don't worry. I don't think it's has anything to do with the mark of the beast. I don't think we're even there yet, so don't. But I think it's leading up to it. I think everything that they do that pushes that envelope a little further is heading towards that narrative. And funny that you say that, because even moving into that season, there's going to be a flip. There's going to be something that switches quickly, that all of a sudden you're going to go to bed one night with the world being one way, and you're going to wake up the next morning and it's all going to be different. It's going to happen in a second. And I'm speaking this morning in there about a prophetic word that Mike Bickle got back in 1983. And kind of talks a little bit about this and what the Lord showed me that Monday when we were in there seeking the Lord. The Lord showed me and tied this, what he showed me, into this prophetic word. So I've been all week looking at this prophetic word and really digging it out. And he told Mike Bickle back in 1983, he told him this. He said, I'm going to change the entire, he used two words, I'm going to change the entire way that Christianity looks, the way it operates. He said, I'm going to do it in one generation. In one generation, I'm going to flip how everybody even sees Christianity, how it operates, how we work and move in and through people, how we get the gospel out. He goes, I'm going to switch it. I'm going to flip it in one generation, which means acceleration. Things are getting really accelerated. And to get something from that extreme, because he's been working on this thing for 2,000 years. And you see how slow it's going, you know? And he does move in seasons, and we are getting closer. But the world's going to flip as well. And that's what's going to happen. And it's going to happen so fast and so hard that you're not even going to have a vote in how they move forward with it. It's just going to be, this is how it is, because it's so extreme, right? And I don't know if it's the economy, the United States economy is just going to, it's just going to drop. It's going to go to nothing, and they're going to have to rebuild. Who knows? Bob Jones. Who knows Bob Jones in here? Who's ever heard Bob Jones? You've heard of Bob Jones? Yeah, he did. Yeah, he's dead now. He died in 2014. But he was a phenomenal, phenomenal prophet that was just so accurate, just the things that he would come up with. Well, he was tied real closely to Mike Bickle when Mike Bickle was getting founded in Kansas City, when he created IHOP, the International House of Prayer. It's 24/7. It's the Tabernacle of David is what they patterned it after. 24/7, and you can get online and see it. It's just constantly praise and worship, 24 hours a day. I think they have 10 or 12 worship teams that they just come in daily, and they just keep this thing going. They have prayer going, worship going, and it's been going on for 22 years now, I think. 22 years. The late 90s is when they started getting it going, like around 97. So Bob Jones was literally in his life telling him how he wanted him to do this. And Mike Bickle was a young, does anybody know Mike Bickle in here? Who knows Mike Bickle? No. Okay. He is awesome. He is up in Kansas City, and he started this movement. And he was a young 30-year-old preacher back then when Bob was giving him these prophetic words. And Mike didn't believe any of it. Mike thought Bob was crazy. In fact, Mike would bring people, his pastors, with him and say, you got to jump in the car. You got to go hear this guy. Not like a good thing, like he's crazy and I want you to see the craziest guy I've ever met in my life. I want you to hear how crazy he talks And Bob Jones was a good old boy from Arkansas, from the hills of Arkansas. His English wasn't very good. He would always dress in these overalls, and he would wear this old coat that was just beat up and tattered and mangled. He said his shoelaces were always untied. He would never tie his shoelace. He just was not anybody that you would think would be a man of God.
I say,
yes, completely. And he talked like crazy, and he didn't. His grammar was bad, you know. And they thought it was funny. They thought Bob was a crazy person. They really did. And he says he talks in these parables, and he talks in these weird language, and he talks like you really don't understand what he's saying. But what Bob was doing was Bob was using a heavenly language, how God would show him things, and he would try to tell them to Mike, and they just didn't have language for it. In fact, there's a guy named Paul Keith Davis. Does anybody know Paul Keith Davis? Paul Keith Davis runs a ministry right now. It's called White Dove Ministries. And for 20 years, Paul Keith would follow Bob around. And what Paul Keith did is Paul Keith interpreted his prophetic words for the people in a language they could understand, because nobody, but God gave Paul Keith this ability to understand what Bob was saying prophetically in that heavenly language. And Paul Keith would say, okay, this is what he's saying. The yellow green is Revelation, and he would map it out to where they could understand it. And that's what he did for 20 years. Well, Bob Jones was given these prophetic words, and that's kind of how this whole thing got started. Okay, so Bob Jones died on Valentine's Day, and you should look him up. I'm telling you, he was so revelatory. God would take him up into the third heavens, and he would do all this stuff, and he really didn't have language for it to us, and he would just tell them, you know. A lot of people thought he was crazy, but come to find out, most of his prophetic stuff actually came true. It actually came true. You might know him from the Kansas City Chiefs prophecy. Do you remember that, when the Kansas City Chiefs were in the Super Bowl? Because everybody was following that one, because everybody was waiting for a revival to come, because they thought, okay, we're praying for a revival and we're going after a revival. He was the one that gave, he said, when the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl, revival is going to break out. Remember that first year? They thought, okay, the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and we were all, revival, and then COVID. You remember that? Everybody was thinking, whoa, what's going on? We thought this was, you know, and everybody thought, oh, whatever. But then they ended up winning it a couple years later after that again. Remember? When did the Kansas City Chiefs win it? Was it this past year? This past year they won. And then that's when that revival started breaking out at what's the name of that one? Asbury. Asbury. And then all these other colleges, revival started breaking out everywhere. So it's just an awesome how he does. And I'm going to be kind of speaking to that in church today about how that relates. Okay, but when we look at these years and how God moves and how he moves in times and seasons, it's very important that we know how to discern his language, okay? And this is the language that he uses. So last week we were really going into this. I put here, I believe he is going to show himself in such a profound way this year, 2024, okay? But only if we're hungry and we answer the invitation. Only if we lean into the Lord in a way that we know he speaks to us. That's why we have to know how he speaks. And I understand that he speaks to us in different ways. He'll speak to Brian like he doesn't speak to me. He'll speak to Craig. He'll speak to you in ways that he knows that you listen. He created you. He knows your personality, Eva. And he knows how you are hearing and how you listen. And that's how he speaks to you. So that's up to you to search that matter out in that, as a king and a priest in the kingdom of God. That's Eva's responsibility to search that matter out, okay? And that's really what we're doing. We're searching these matters out. The time...
That explains a lot. But I was just telling Angie, there are things that are just kind of like turning upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are, in some areas, are just not making sense at all, should definitely not like they used to.
Right.
And so I'm having a lesson.
Yeah.
I'm having a lesson.
I think that's where God is bringing us all. I think for the long time through, and really what has been going on is there's this, and just kind of get into it a little bit, there's a spiritual drought. Angie and I talked about it. We have been in a spiritual drought. Now, there's been two great awakenings in the United, in the world, right, in America. There was a great awakening in the 1700s. There was one in the 1800s. But we have not had a great awakening since then. Now, there have been small little pockets, right? Azusa Street, that was one. You know, there's these small Toronto, Lakeland. There's these small little pockets of glory that hit. But as far as great awakenings that sweep a nation, that sweep a region, that really just take over and sweep an entire region, there really hasn't been one since then. That is what's coming. And these little pockets of glory that have been hitting the earth are just keeping you going to know, okay, he's still moving, he's still coming, and they're great. They're used. These people are mightily used, and he uses those pockets to go and open up other movements that where you take them, and then you go and take that glory, and you go do your part. But they're small in comparison. We're in a spiritual drought. Angie and I talked about this one time at my house when we were thinking, do you remember, because the church that I grew up in, Church of Living Water with Pastor Brian Morrison, I remember there was times when I would walk into that church, and as soon as you would walk into that back door, Sandy and Leon know exactly what I'm talking about, Tim, your knees would get weak. You would walk in and you would feel the glory of God, and you were like, whoa, it would be so strong. No one prayed for you. No one had a word for you. No one came up and prophesied over you. It was just the glory of God in there was so strong that it would just physically, tangibly get on you. I remember times where I would go in and just start crying, just start crying. There's multiple times where I would go in and because I would sit, all growing up, my mom always had us close to the front row, and we always had this particular seat that we would sit in. And the closer that you would get to the front of the church, the thick and heavier it would get. So we were always up at the front on the left, and I remember multiple times just in worship, just having my eyes closed, and we would smell this sweet smell, like this beautiful perfume smell. And it was just kind of like these wonders that God would do just to show up, just to say, man, I love you. I'm here. I'm with you. I'm moving. Okay, well, that went through kind of late 80s, early 90s. But then around mid-90s, late 90s, it just kind of went away. And we were talking about, like, what happened to those days where you could walk into a church and really feel the tangible presence of God? We're in this drought. And because we've gotten so far away from God as time moves on, just sin and compromise, and we've lost the fear of the Lord, and we've lost so many things that we should be walking in, and we've reduced what Christianity is supposed to be, we've reduced it to the most minimal, attend church on Sunday, and that's it. And God is just done with that. And he's we're coming out of that now, but I think that's what has caused that spiritual drought. What's funny is when Bob Jones gave Mike Bickle that prophetic word, Mike Bickle had just moved to Kansas City. He just became a young pastor. He was like 27 years old, and he was trying to do he started a church. And what the Lord gave Mike Bickle to do, he said, Mike, I want you to do a 21-day fast. And he had never fasted. He was like, oh, okay, we'll do a 21-day fast. He said, I want to do it and do a Daniel fast. The Lord told him, do a Daniel fast. And he said, okay, what do I pray for? And he said, I want you to pray for the city. I want you to pray for revival for your city. And he had just moved there, and he was like, well, this is kind of presumptuous, right? Like, I just moved. I don't even really know the people, and you want me to fast for, you know, they're going to think I'm just some kind of arrogant or whatever. You know, I got here, so now I'm going to bring a move of God and all this. And that's kind of what he was thinking, but the Lord told him, you're going to do this. And there were some other things that happened that were confirmation. Well, he started praying for revival, and then Bob Jones started coming to that church during that 21 days of revival, and Bob Jones was just kind of there watching things going. He said, because revival's going to hit, Mike. Revival's going to hit. And they were so amped up during this 21 days. In fact, we spent 12 hours in the prayer room, right? 12 hours on that Monday, and that was awesome. Mike Bickle and his whole team were spending 18 hours a day, 21 days in a row, in that prayer room. They would get there at 6 in the morning, and all day long they would stay there, and they would leave at midnight. And he said, and because the word from Bob Jones that revival was going to hit was so real to us, we were so ready for it that we knew on that 21st day, revival is going to hit. And this is what he was believing for. He told the Lord, okay, if revival is going to hit, I want big things. This is what he said. I want 5,000 people to get saved. And Bob heard that and he goes, 5,000? Mike, there's a billion people coming into the, there's a billion. And he couldn't wrap his head. He just didn't know. You know what I'm saying? He thought, I've never led 5,000 people to the Lord ever. Have you? You know, he was thinking, that's a lot. But the Lord was really changing his perspective to say, you have no clue what I'm about to do. It's going to be so big, it's going to sweep the globe.
Is the Astrodome available?
Yes, exactly. I'm telling you, this is funny. She's saying this because this is part of the thing that Mike Bickle got a thing from Paul Kane. And I'll read him in there because it's kind of where we're going. That he got a prophetic word and saw stadiums being filled with young people and these young worship movements. And for 2 and 3 days, they're going to be in these stadiums, not eating food, not drinking water, just worshiping God. And there's no sports going on because all these stadiums are packed out now with these worship movements of people rushing to these stadiums, worshiping God. And that's the only thing on the news. And the newscasters are saying, we don't know what's going on. There's no sports to report on. Because these stadiums are filled, 60, 70, 90,000 people of young people and worship movements. And they said they've been in there for 3 days. No food's gone in. No water has gone in. It's just a supernatural thing. And this is what they're going to be reporting on the news. And, yes.
Can I say something about the shots for immunization?
Yes.
In 2020, I was debating about taking the shots or not. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And one night he came to me and said, you don't take the shot because you were immunized before you were born.
Come on.
And I already knew the pandemic is not new to me. It was coming. I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Although it almost killed me, but I knew that it would
do. Yeah. That's exactly right. This is what we inoculate ourselves with, Romans 8:2. That's what we do. John G. Lake was going, oh, sorry, I'm just going to call Andrew Rocket Holes. Go ahead.
And I think that's kind of what the shifting in me, not trying to follow what everybody else is doing, even though what everybody else is doing may be what's on course for the moment, it may not be on my agenda, on God's agenda for me right now. When this fast ended, one day earlier this week, I was praying and I told the Lord, I said, I want to be pliable. I'm tired of being stiff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be pliable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to pre-zoom anything. I don't want to look at people one way, a situation one way. I want you to reveal to me exactly what's going on, how it pertains to me.
Right.
And what he spoke to me was, he said, you've got to be battle ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, Lord, I don't do battle very well. I don't.
Uh-huh. But Craig says.
But that's what I need to...
Yes.
I need to focus on. And can I read you what he's?
Absolutely.
Yeah. If I can see it. Get battle ready. He desires to strengthen me in every way because he knows what's ahead.
That's right.
He says, learn to use your sword. Mm-hmm. Learn how to correctly hold your shield. Have your belt correctly adjusted. Make sure the straps on your sandals are not loosened, but securely fastened. Make sure your breastplate is not askew.
Mm-hmm.
What he was telling me, I felt like, was, yes, I've got the battle gear, and I've got the full armor of God. I have it available to me. I have it right there in front of me, but if I'm not using it correctly, if none of this is adjusted the way it needs to be adjusted, the enemy's going to find a way in.
For sure.
So I have got to be.
Yeah. That's right.
I've just got to be.
And
it's got to be me, not me.
Exactly right. That is exactly right. What does the Bible say in Matthew? I think it's chapter 7, or Matthew, he says, when you're tired and weary and you're learning, he says, where does he say to say, come to me. You come to me. It didn't say you run to your spouse. For sure, don't run to your pastor. See, we've got this thing so off skew. We've taken our focus off of him so much that we think religion is the answer. And religion is killing you. It's just wrong. Come to me. You come to me and I will give you rest. And that's kind of what we're all learning, because what she's talking about and being battle ready, because that's really what God is showing us to be ready. So when this thing does hit, when this thing goes crazy, when it goes sideways, Bob Jones even gave a prophetic word. He told Mike, he said, there's going to be a third world war. And you're not getting out of it. It is imminent. It will happen. There will be World War III. It will be. And it's happening. That's what I'm saying. We're so close. And when the Lord is getting you prepared for a battle and to things like that, so when you do wake up and all hell's breaking loose all over the earth, you know what you're going to do? I'm good. We knew it was coming.
Right. We were taught in Scripture translation, multiplication of food, all these things that we have said, okay, that's just too weird.
Yeah.
Raising the dead.
That's
in
right.
Hebrews, it says, that's the foundation.
Yep.
How did you have to constantly go back to salvation
when
we were to move beyond these things so that we are prepared, and we prepare the next generation for the
exactly
things
right.
to come?
That's exactly right. Because we read these miracles and we read all these things in the Bible, and the reason God puts them in there is for you to understand this is how you are to live your life. But we look at them as, oh, well, that's just for the biblical times. That's just for the apostles. And he's saying, no, that's for the times that are coming, that you're going to have to be living according to those things. And you have to know, and why do I have to keep coming to you and feeding you milk when you're on the basic oracles of God? You've already known these for so long, and you can't even move on from the basic principles of this kingdom that has come to earth now that you're a part of. And if you can't get past these, there's a scripture, I think it's in 2 Chronicles, that says, if you can't even keep up with the footmen, how are you expect to keep up with the chariots and the horses? Because that's where it's going. Before COVID hit, we were asleep. We weren't even keeping up with the footmen. And now COVID come and we're like, oh, let's wake up. Maybe we need to start headed this direction. We need to start repenting. We need to start getting our eyes on God. And we're barely now just picking up the pace a little bit. But the pace right now has even slowed down because we think, okay, well, COVID's over. Let's get back to normal. Let's get back to doing what I was going to do. Yeah, it's just, that's what it was. But it was to wake us up to say, okay, now, the next time it hits, I need to be already running so I can keep up with the chariots and the horsemen, because if it doesn't, it's going to tumble me and I'm just going to get rolled over.
And when he starts confirming things, we won't go, oh, wow. We're going to say, oh.
I already knew. I was already preparing. I'm already preparing. Read the scriptures. It's in the scriptures. There's nothing new. Everything that's going to happen is in the scriptures. I was talking to Amy about it just yesterday, and I was thinking, it's so crazy how even that the evil agenda is following scripture. They know scripture better than we do, and they're following it just so they can try to take over and use it according to their own purposes. But they're following scripture. I mean, read Revelations. My goodness, we're right in the middle of it, you know? And it's so crazy to think that this isn't real, or we don't need to pay attention to this. And what you're talking about is, Angie was talking about inoculate yourself, and Lydia was talking about the shot, right? And this is what John G. Lake went over to Africa, and this is back when the plague was going on, and over there in Africa, and they were losing people, villages just were being wiped out by the plague. And so John G. Lake took a group of people over there, and he didn't inoculate himself. He didn't take anything. He just went over there, and most of the people were wearing all this kind of gear and all this stuff, and he was just touching people and praying for them. So they came to him and said, what's going on? How are you not getting sick? You're touching these people. You're not even, what's going on? What did you inoculate yourself with? He said, I'm glad you asked. I inoculated myself with this scripture right here. Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has been set free from the law of sin and death. He said, I inoculate myself with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And he told them, they said, well, what does that mean? Show us what that means. He said, give me some of that, put that sickness in my hand. Go take some of that the germ or whatever it was, right? The disease, and look at it under a microscope. And they did. And they saw how it was devouring the other cells and killing each other. He said, now put it in my hand and look at it. And they put it in his hand, and that disease started dying in his hand. He said, that's what I'm talking about right there. That's exactly what I'm talking about. There's nothing can touch me. Yes. Exactly right.
He didn't die, but he shook it off.
And it didn't, it's not even a, it's that, and where we're trying to get to where these things don't even for a second bother you because we know who we are in Christ. We know who we are. Don't come to me with that. And if and whatever happens, happens. You know, maybe it doesn't. That's what the three said that when they were thrown into the fire, right? They said, our God is big enough to save us. But guess what? Even if he don't, I don't care. I do not care. What does your fire to me? It means nothing to me. And that's the faith that not, but see, Christians nowadays are just running fear and look at, and hide in their house, and it's just backwards.
Death isn't scary anymore.
It's not. It's not, because even in death, we have the victory. Even in death. What? That's right. That's right.
I was told if I didn't take the immunization, I would die. And I would live. I lost three siblings.
Yeah.
To COVID. Because they took the immunization.
Wow.
And the last one was 2 months ago with my baby brother.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's just, and it's fear, and I'm not speaking against those people because they seriously are fearful and they think they're doing right. They think they're doing right in protecting you and telling you this, but it's, if you do anything based out of fear, it's wrong. That's from the enemy. God doesn't use fear tactic. He uses truth. He uses truth, and that's what we have to follow. And
Mm-hmm. We haven't had this vaccine.
Yeah.
I'm
it, okay. It's fear. I'm telling you. We didn't vaccine. I didn't vaccine.
Your reply should be, I'm blood washed.
That's right.
I don't need your death.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's how we need to do. We didn't. I didn't vaccinate either one of my kids. Never. Never not one. And I remember going into a hospital, and our regular doctor wasn't there, and it was a different doctor that was seeing, and so she came out into the waiting room, and they were just talking to Amy and I, and Reagan was probably 7 or 8 or something like that. And she said, well, where is she on her vaccines? You know, where is she? And we said, we don't vaccinate. You would have thought Reagan brought in polio and the Black Plague and all this stuff with her. They chastised Amy and I to the point to where they shamed us to the point to where Amy left crying, thinking she was a horrible mother, because how dare you not protect, how dare you bring her into this office right now, and you're putting all these other people, and we were young then, we didn't know, you know, we just knew that it wasn't right to do that, so we're just trying to stand on a promise that we just knew what was right, and you should have heard that doctor, and now I look back on that all the time, and I'm thinking, the whole reason that was happening is because she was in fear. She lives her life in fear. Everything is fearful. Everything, but and they think science is the answer. They think science is out front of everything else. And do you know technology and the science these days? And we can, you know, but they just don't understand what it means to have the blood of Jesus and to walk like John G. Lake walked. Oh, absolutely.
What we declare.
For sure.
Yeah. And the arrogance we show if we're not 100%.
For sure.
If you're not 100%.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's, and the enemy knows very well when you balk.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows when you balk at something. He knows if you're trying to stand in faith, but you have a little fear, you have a little trepidation. He can see that, and that's when he really goes after you and says, no, they don't. I hear they're doing it with their mouth, but they really don't believe what they're saying. Because I can see the fear. Yes, exactly right.
You listen to me, or you speak praise and honor with your your mouth, but your heart is far.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we need to believe this thing wholeheartedly, which is good because this is what I want to talk about right here. Because there's two, the last door scripture, right? The last open door scripture in the scriptures, right, is Revelation 4:1. And it says, "And behold, I saw a door standing open in heaven." And the first verse I heard speaking to me sounded like a trumpet. And it said, "Come up here, come up here, get up here, get higher, get your eyes up, get off the stuff, get your lower way of thinking, start looking from heaven's perspective, because you're going to start speaking things from heaven to earth to open these doors for you." Okay? Come up here and I'm going to show you things. So I said, I listed a list of how do we do that? What does that look? Because you read the scripture, but then you think, well, what is, okay, practically, how do I do that? How do I come up there? I want to. Okay, Lord, I'm ready. You know, but what does that look like? Yes, exactly. What does that look like? So I got a list of things that we need to do that Angie says practice. We need to practice these things. We need to practice what that looks like to the Lord. How do I go through that door and come up there? And the number one, I have about seven or eight of them here. The number one thing that you can do to get you up to that level from his level is you spending time in the secret place with him. You going in your room and you shutting a door and you getting on your knees and you spending time with him. Not, I didn't say shut the door and get on your knees and give him your laundry list of things that you need. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you go in that room and you just cry out to God, and whatever it is that you need in there, you talk to him. And then you leave some room to wait for him to talk. To get this conversation, to get a dialogue going with the Lord for you personally in your life for things that you're dealing with. That's the secret place. That is where you're transformed. That is where the blueprints come from heaven. That's how he builds you up in your faith. That's how you fill yourself up with the Spirit. That's where we get those jugs of oil from Matthew 25. That's how we store up oil. Time with him personally in secret. He says, "You come in and you come in and you seek me in secret, then I will reward you out in public." How? With what? With miracle signs and wonders that you're going to do that are going to follow you because you're so full of oil now. Everywhere you go, you're going to light up that room for Jesus. That's the number one.
And if you can't kneel, you can still sit there and pray and let him talk to you.
Get on your face. Yeah.
I can't get up.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't kneel. I've tried to kneel sometimes, but I'm not real limber. So my knees start to hurt. You know, or whatever. So I'll just lay prostrate on the floor sometimes. Sometimes I pace. Sometimes I pray in tongues. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways that you, whatever is best for you, but just be in that room for, and I'm not talking about 5 or 10 minutes. I'm talking about some extended time in there with him, with him, you know, and just learning how to get this dialogue going, learning what his voice sounds like when he speaks to you, learning how does it feel when he comes into the room. How does it shift? How did it feel? How does that presence feel? You know, I was talking to Bill Johnson when he went up to Toronto to see this outpouring of the Spirit. Bill Johnson is very, very practical. He's very intelligent. He's very much doesn't move by feeling. He doesn't do that. So he wanted to go up there and see what was going on. So he went up to Toronto, and he said when he walked in the room, he said he immediately wanted to leave. He said, "What? Because what's going on in this room is not God. This is not God." He saw things going on that offended him so bad, it almost got him mad to say, "How dare these people think that this is God? This is not God. They're making a mockery of him." And God told him, did I?
Yeah.
God told him, "You better sit right there." And he said, "And if what you're seeing offends you, shut your eyes. Then just close your eyes." So he did. So he sat there and he closed his eyes and he wasn't seeing any of the offense things that he thought were offending to him. And as soon as he did, he started to realize, to feel the presence of God. And he said, what shocked him was the presence that he was feeling in that room with all that crazy stuff going on was the same presence that he felt back in California when he would come into the room. He said, I recognized it. I recognized the presence of God so well. Angie made a good point of this, that when you're trying to determine real from counterfeit, don't study the counterfeit. Because you're thinking it's skewed. You study the real thing. And bankers, when bankers come up, when they teach them how to, they don't give them counterfeit. They study the real thing so much that they know what the real feels like so much that when they touch something that's fake, they say, oh, that's fake. Because I know what the real feels like. That's the same thing with God. That you spend so much time in His presence that you can actually walk into a room and you can say, this is offensive to me and it doesn't look like God, but let me just shut up for a minute and let me just feel what's going on and let me connect myself to the room. And then you'll say, no, this is God. That's why I love that message, that lyric in that song that says, Lord, offend my mind so you can reveal my heart. And that's where we need to get to. We need to get to the point to where it can be offensive to our mind, but when we close our eyes, we've been so close and we've been spent so much time with the Lord that now our heart is being revealed and your heart is saying, this is absolutely God. This is God. And who do you think you are to judge how He moves and how He comes and what He looks like? And that's what's got the church so sideways for so many years, because they're so afraid of the Holy Spirit that when He comes, we can't control Him. And it looks weird and it gets awkward and it makes me feel weird. So we just keep Him out the door and no, thank you, Holy Spirit, we got this. And, you know, because you don't come how we want you to come. When you actually come, you actually think you're in control. You actually think you're the boss, and you start doing things that makes people feel uncomfortable. Yeah, they're getting free, but man, it makes me feel awkward. And they would rather stay bound than feel some kind of way. It's religion, and it needs to go. It needs to go. We need to get past that. We need to be offended a little bit. We need our mind to be offended, but then our heart to cry out. This doesn't look right, but my heart is telling me this is God, and this is right, and this is what we want. Amen? And this is where we're going. The next one is fasting. Fasting is the way to really break open what God has for you. And these are the things that we're doing. I mean, this is the road we're on. Secret place, fasting. Third one is tithe. Above and beyond tithe, offering. First fruits, right? This kind of giving, when you think in terms like this, I can't afford to tithe. You're backwards. You can't afford not to. That's exactly right. He says, "The person that doesn't tithe, it's like putting their money in pockets with holes in them. You're just losing it." And you think it's wise. You think you're using wisdom. But God's wisdom confounds the wise. God's wisdom is what? And when you start tithing and you start giving money, all of a sudden, money just comes to you. You don't know how it operates. This is God's kingdom. I'm just going through the last ones and we'll pray. Worship, going deeper in worship. Observing the feasts better. Getting more in tune with His language and how His calendar works. Learning His language. Walking in the fear of the Lord. This is huge. The fear of the Lord, because that's really what the church lost. They left the Holy Spirit outside, they locked out the fear of the Lord, and they started walking according to the fear of man. What do you want me to preach? Who's given the most money in the church? Oh, we need to listen to them because in fear we lose their money, and the fear of man took over, and God is nowhere in that, right? Fear of the Lord. Deeper revelation, right? And then the last one I put here is practicing the gifts. What Angie's been doing on Wednesday nights, teaching us how to practice the kingdom of God. Because this is not just something we're up here speaking that we're doing. This is for you guys to walk in as well. And this is what activates you and your gifts and activates you and your ministry in the things that He's asking you to do, because you play a role just as much as we play a role. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, let's pray. And then, so I just kind of gave you a little bit about what we're going to be talking in there. And it was really cool what the Lord shared with me. And if you haven't yet, and the Lord has given you something this past week about what we were doing, please send it to us so we can pray into it and kind of see what God wants us to do with it. And we want to see how it ties into what He's saying to us and where we're going, okay? So, Father, we just thank You for this time. Lord, we just thank you that we honor you first and foremost. Holy Spirit, that this is a place that you are welcome. Not only welcome, that Lord, that we take a back seat. We really do. That we just want to be here to be a mouthpiece for you. We want to only speak truth. We want to only stand on the promises. We want to only put the Word of God above everything. Your Word says that you'll put your Word above your very name. That's how high regard you put your Word. And how much more do we need to do that? Father, speak to us through your Word. Speak through us through the revelation that you're giving us. Speak through us through the seasons that you're bringing us into. Father, just not to me, just to everybody in this room, that you would speak to them, that they would know your voice. They would know your voice because of the time they spend with you, that they know your voice and they know how you're speaking and they know what to do with it. So, Father, I thank you for what you're showing us and teaching us, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.